You're listening to Gerald Fleury and the Key of David on 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm.
Greetings, everyone. God promises that He will speak to us by His Son in these last days, but how does God do that? How does God speak to His people today or to this world? Well, you don't hear a thunderous voice coming from heaven. You don't hear that at all, and yet God says He will speak to us. But how and where does He do that? We want to make sure, if we understand anything about God, that we hear His voice and know what He wants to teach us and prepare us to do in the future. And it is truly astounding what God has in store for us. This is the God who died for our sins, paid the ultimate penalty for our sins, and He wants to bring us into His family and help us learn to rule over this earth and the universe as His bride. Now that's quite a promise. Romans 8 talks about the universe being a big groan, waiting for the sons of God to be born into the family of God and take care of the problems out in the universe. And as Mr. Herbert Armstrong asked, well, how could that be true if we don't have anything to do with the universe? Of course we have something to do with the universe. God is calling us and preparing us to rule with Him over this earth and the universe forever as a part of His family. Now that certainly indicates we ought to know how God speaks and how He teaches us and how He gets us ready for such an awesome responsibility in the very near future. We must be ready when that time comes. Let me read to you what God says about speaking to us in this end time. Verse 1 of Hebrews 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. That is, it was a different system then because ancient Israel didn't have the Holy Spirit. But then Christ came and established His church and said it would never die, and He would give His Holy Spirit to spiritual Israel or to the church. And notice, he says there is a change in how God's going to speak to the world and to His people. Here's what he says in verses 2 and 3. He has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, capital S, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. So here is God who speaks to us in these last days, the God who created the world, he said. The God who created everything speaks to us. The God who sustains all that and upholds all that all the time, He speaks to us. That God is what we're talking about that speaks to us in the last days. The Son of God is speaking to us. Where is He speaking? And through whom is He speaking to us in these last days? He has to be doing that, or, of course, everything in His Word is a lie, and we know that's not true. But He speaks to His little flock, Luke 12 and verse 32, but He also speaks to the world through that little flock and through their support and their effort in this end time. Jesus Christ said that man has to live by every word of God, Matthew 4 and verse 4. Every word. Now that's the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the Bible is just Jesus Christ in print. So we have to, what he's talking about is he has to reveal to us what is in the Bible, and that's how he speaks to us. But there's more to it than just that. Notice Amos 3 and verse 7. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He reveals His secret unto His servants. That's over the ages, His servants, but He does it one at a time. But He reveals His secret to His servants, the prophets. The lion has roared, and who will not fear? The Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Well, it says here, and this is for the end time, you can prove it in our Amos booklet, that He has spoken. And Amos at that time, anciently, said, well, who can but prophesy? If this God comes on like a roaring lion with a dangerous message, well then, who can but prophesy? But it's a man that did the prophesying. It wasn't God. He didn't speak from heaven, but He spoke through Amos. But this is an end time book, so there has to be a type or a messenger in the end time as well who speaks for God and says, because this message is primarily for the end time, he says, well, who can but prophesy when the lion has roared, when God has spoken? Who can but prophesy? We must hear, and we must listen, and we must heed, or we have a lot of terrible problems in store for us ahead. And hopefully we'll learn from that if we don't learn the easy way, and then God can still reach us. But the point here is that God reveals His secret. It's a secret to this world. They don't understand it. God has to reveal it. Nobody understands the Bible unless God reveals it. Nobody understands Bible prophecy unless God reveals it. They don't get it. They never will unless God reveals it. Unless God has spoken to some man who then takes it, and he and his supporters take it and deliver it to the world. Now that's the way it is in this end time. God speaks through His revelation. That's how He speaks to us. But where is that revelation? Where is the secret that God has revealed? That is your responsibility to determine that. Not mine, but yours. I have my responsibility and you have yours. You have the responsibility of knowing where that secret is that God has revealed. And then things really begin to open up. See, God is using Himself as a symbol of a lion, or symbolized by a lion. But look, if you reject His revelation, you reject God. And it's not natural to receive God's revelation. Romans 8 and verse 7 says, the carnal mind is enmity or hostile to God. We have to overcome that attitude of hostility and let God reveal His message to us, to a babe, a little child, as He says, have the attitude of a little child, and He'll reveal it to us. But He has revealed His secret in this end time. But look, He's telling you here very clearly that this man never knows anything until God speaks or God reveals His secret. And then the man is told, well, you go, get out there, you and your supporters, and deliver this message. Get it out to the world. That's how God does it in the last days. That's what He's saying here. And that's not always an easy thing to do. Notice what it says in Jeremiah 9 in verse 12. Jeremiah 9 in verse 12 says, well, who is the wise man that may understand this? And who is he to whom the mouth of the Lord has spoken that he may declare it, he the man may declare it? And then he goes on to say, for what the land perishes and is burned up like a wilderness that none passes through. And Jeremiah is talking about some terrible times coming upon this world. But you see, the man can't do anything until God reveals it to him. It's all God's doing. It's all God's system of speaking to this world and to His church, first of all. But he's talking about a terrible time, really, that is coming upon this world. And he says, now a man has to declare that. A man, wise men and wise women will understand in this end time. Are you one of those wise men or women? Am I one of those? Well, those are questions you and I have to answer for ourselves, and nobody else can do it for us. Jeremiah 25 and verse 10, get this. This is just a profound statement here that Jeremiah makes that we must understand if we're ever going to be able to hear God speak. And I will bring upon that land all my word, which I have pronounced against it. Even all that is written in this book, that is of Jeremiah, which Jeremiah has prophesied against all the nations. That's all of them. Now, this is a giant key here. I hope you'll pay close attention, because let me tell you, it is really important. You see, if God says, look, I revealed all there is in the book of Jeremiah, and it's going to be sent out to all the nations. And of course, Jeremiah ties with other books in the Bible. Anciently, Jeremiah just went to the tribe of Judah or the people of Judah, but his book is addressed to the 12 nations of Israel in this end time, to all of them, and three in particular who are going to be punished for their sins. So it is for Israel, but it's first of all for spiritual Israel or the church. But Jeremiah's book, God said, I've given it to you. I've revealed it to what I wanted Jeremiah to know. And then in the end time, there will be a Jeremiah type or some man that will have to have this revealed to him and how it applies to this end time, that entire book for the whole world. But that also applies to the whole Bible. God has to give us what's in the Bible and then reveal it to us and then have a man deliver it with his supporters, and that group takes the message to the world where they can hear God's message. But do you know today most people won't listen to that message? But they nevertheless are going to be held accountable for it. And that's what's going to make the future very difficult if they don't wake up and see that. See, we all have a responsibility here. It is, after all, this God who created the worlds and sustains those worlds that is speaking to us today. I mean, this is not a man we're talking about. This is not a puny little man that's delivering a message. This is the message of God. This is the God's message that He reveals to a man. And then you have to make sure you're following God, because you're under a curse if you follow a man. But if you follow the man that's delivering God's message, you're following God. That's pretty basic in the Bible. But the entire Bible applies just like God said it did to Jeremiah. Look, he said, I gave all of this book to Jeremiah. I gave it to him, this revelation. But it's for the end time mainly, and God will have to reveal it and how it applies to the end time when that time comes, and it's here now. It's here right now. If you find new revelation from Jeremiah in this end time, then you know that's where God is. Read right for our Jeremiah booklet, and you'll see that very clearly. But we also obey old revelation, if I can put it that way, old revelation or revelation that came from a sixth era of God's church. But now we're in the seventh era. That's all explained in Revelation 3 and will be explained in the literature we send you at the end of this program. But look, we fought for 6 years, 6 years to get revelation that God had given to Herbert W. Armstrong. We had to fight to get it because we knew it really did belong to God and to God's people, and that message had to be delivered. That is the sixth era revelation and now the seventh era revelation. God just keeps pouring out new revelation and speaking to us today. But we could miss all of that. We could miss every bit of it if we're not careful. And we don't want to see that happen. Notice what Jeremiah says in verse 15 of Jeremiah 25. For thus says the eternal God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand and cause all the nations to whom I send you to drink it. But it's an end time book, and Jeremiah died many years ago, so there has to be another messenger deliver this message in the end time. Jeremiah wrote it for this end time. It's the only reason his message is in a book is for this end time. It's the only reason. And God says, now, I want you to take it to whom I send you, to all the nations. Now, this is quite a responsibility when you think about it. But you see, Daniel talks about the last end where there will be new revelation given. And the very fact that he says last end implies that there was a period in the end just before that where there was a lot of revelation. But notice what it says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Now what does that mean? In the present truth. Well, it means that God keeps revealing new truth to His church because everything is unfolding right here in this end time, in the last days. And God is speaking to His people and to this world as never before in the history of man as far as how much is prophesied. Because so much, even when Christ was on this earth, so much of it didn't apply then, but was only a type of what's going to be fulfilled in this end time that Christ would see to and reveal it to His people. But where are they and where is that revelation? Where is that old and new revelation? Or the early and latter rain, as the Bible calls it, in this end time? I mean the very end time. Where is it? I mean, we have volumes of the present truth we believe and want to and absolutely know we do, and you can prove it, but you have to put forth the effort to understand and how to listen to God's speaking, how to listen to His voice. And we know that He continued to speak, and you can see, you should read verses 16 and 17 about how bad it's going to get in this end time. Verse 33, it talks about the slain of the Lord are going to be all over the earth. Could this really be true? Could this really be God speaking and warning the world and trying to get them to avoid all those horrifying problems? Do you think a God who created the worlds and who sustains the universe, we can take what He says lightly? Do I think that? Do you? Well, I hope none of us do. But you read the Zephaniah 1 and verse 14. I don't think I'll have time to go through that, but God says that great day of the Lord hasteth greatly. And the voice of the day of the Lord is out there in this end time. God is speaking. There is the voice. And it really is God's voice. It's out there warning about the day of the Lord, the great tribulation and the day of the Lord. And if we look around with all the nuclear bombs being proliferated around this earth, we know it's never been like this before. This is an unparalleled time in the history of man. There's never been a time like this. And God says, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near. He says it twice to emphasize the importance of this and the danger in all of this. But did you know that revelation is the major proof of where God is? If you find His revelation, which you won't find any place else. You know where God is. Now, that's a rather emphatic statement, but it's true. It very much is true to God's Word. Notice what Habakkuk said in Habakkuk 3 in verses 1 and 2, a prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth, O Lord, I have heard your speech, and I was afraid. I feared you. We should fear God. God says, to this man will I look, to that man that's humble and of a contrite spirit. Isaiah 66, verses 1 and 2. He says, to this man I'll look, because he'll listen to me. Notice what it says in Ezekiel 33 and verse 7. So you, O son of man, I have set you a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear the word at my mouth. Now this not only applies to Ezekiel, it applies to the Old Testament and New Testament, the entire Bible. It's from God's mouth. And he reveals it unto his people, or to his people, and warn them from me, he says here. I have set you a watchman, not a watchman, but a watchman in this end time. Just one watchman. Who can believe that? But it's true. It's what your Bible says. And he will have the revelation to deliver to this world. But it'll be a little flock that does it, and most people will not listen until all these things start coming to pass, and then you have the great multitude coming out of the tribulation, repenting of their sins, albeit too late physically, but not spiritually. But isn't that simple? Isn't that clear when you think about it? How God speaks to us? And all this Bible comes from the mouth of God. I want to talk to you about one more scripture that is really important to you and to all of us. I mean, this is supremely important, and I hope you'll pay close attention because it is a message for this time right now. Notice what it says in Zechariah 3 in verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, hear now, hear it now, O Joshua the high priest, you and your fellows that all sit before you, for they are men wondered at, or men of sign. Well, what sign? What sign is it? For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch, capital B-R-A-N-C-H, speaking of the Christ or the Messiah's coming. But he said, now look, Joshua, you and your fellows, the time is about up. You don't have much time left. It's not enough just to hear it. You have to hear it now. Now is the time. Time is running out. Hear it now. After all, they were following a man. If you go back to verses 1 and 2, they were following a man that was in the bonds of the devil. And that's, he, after all, is the God of this world. But this is a giant principle, and I hope that you'll really read that and study it and study the material that we send you, because it's not just a matter of hearing the message. God says, hear it right now. God doesn't want to see people suffer. We only have a small window of opportunity, though, and God tells us to hear this and hear it now. He says that throughout these prophecies. Hear this and hear it now. Well, you can read Ephesians 3 and verse 3 and verse 5, where God only reveals these things to the prophets and the apostles, but he does reveal them, but only to those people on that level spiritually. Now, that's what your Bible says. You read it in Ephesians 3 and verse 3 and verse 5. I don't have time to get into that, but that is a critical two verses there for your understanding. But you can see that God does speak to us today. He speaks to us today, right now. And he wants us to hear it now. This is the creator of the worlds or the universe and the sustainer of the universe. He has all that power and he speaks to us in the last days. That's what Hebrews was teaching us and telling us. The Bible, you see, God has to reveal, but he has to reveal it to a messenger that will deliver that message, and then supporters will see, well, this is really of God, the great creator God, and he wants us to hear this message, that spoken word, as he speaks to us and speaks to the world. And so they take that revealed message from God to the world, and that is how God speaks to the world. He does it through a man, but it is nevertheless God's voice speaking. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.
For more understanding about today's topic, request our free book, The Royal Book of Revelation, and our free reprint article, God Speaks Through Revelation. As you heard on today's program, God gives revelation through His apostles and prophets. This revelation opens up God's Word, found in the Holy Bible, to your understanding. Our free book, The Royal Book of Revelation, will give you insight into which church era we're in today. You'll be able to see how close we are to the return of Christ to this earth. You'll also discover where to look for God's revelation in both the sixth and seventh eras of God's church. Many people feel God is silent about the events of today's world, but God is speaking. Your challenge is to find out where to look for His voice. A big part of God's revelation is understanding current events. To help you with this, we would like to send you a free subscription to our news magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. Be sure not to miss this month's issue, which features the cover story, What Happens After a Superpower Dies. Also, be sure to read Gerald Fleury's article, Europe's Nuclear Secret. Operators are standing by to take your literature request. All of our literature is free and comes with no obligation. Request the Royal Book of Revelation and our free reprint article, God Speaks Through Revelation, along with your free subscription to the Trumpet Magazine. To request the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. Again, that's 1-800-339-7629. Watch the program online, visit us at keyofdavid.com. If you would prefer to write for today's free literature, send your request to The Key of David, Post Office Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.